Well, good morning. I'd like to introduce our speaker, Lori Krolik. She's a certified productive environment specialist, and today she's going to be talking about organizing your information, get it, store it, find it, and a little bit about Lori as a professional organizer and productivity specialist. She's also the founder of More Time for You, which is located in Palo Alto. And I'm sure she'll tell us more a little bit about what she does in her presentation. For 18 years, she has helped residential and small business clients create systems out of their most serious clutter challenges. I am so glad you're here today. Whether it's piles that prevent a home from functioning in the way it should, or paper piles that impede office productivity, or electronic clutter in your computers, it is personalized to a client's space and lifestyle. Her primary philosophy is that you need to be able to find what you need when you need it, whether at home, at work, or on your computer. Lori became a certified productive environment specialist in 2010, is a longtime member of NAPO, which is the National Association of Professional Organizers, and founder of the Los Altos chapter of Women's Network Alliance. And I want to welcome you, Lori, for joining us here today. And I'm going to turn the screen over to you. And thank you again for joining the virtual networking group.
Thank you, Janet. I'm happy to be presenting today, and I'm happy to be presenting to Women's Networking Alliance. As Janet said in my bio, I founded the Los Altos chapter. I've been in the organization for 5 years, and it's just a really good organization. So for those of you who are new, I think you'll get a lot out of it. I'm very excited to be presenting this topic, organizing your information. I know it's a struggle for people on a general level. So just to get started, I just want to talk about what we all face on a daily basis. We are just overwhelmed with information. You can't find what you need when you need it. People are keeping so much information. We have phones, we have computers, we have paper, and it's all coming at us in so many different places. On top of all that, we have, sorry, I'm trying to change the slide and I'm having problems here. It is not moving along. Just 1 second. There we go. And so we have lots of information to deal with, whether it's in paper form or electronic form. And on top of all that, you've got your time to deal with. You've only got so much time, and we're all feeling overwhelmed, like we can just not be in so many places at once, and you're running around, and that's a lot to deal with. So what happens is all this information gets buried in piles, and what starts off as a small pile quickly becomes a big one. You've set your meeting notes when you come back on from a meeting on your desk, and you'll say, I need to deal with this, I'll come back to it, and then something else comes on your desk, and you put it there, and quickly that pile grows. Same thing with your email inbox. You know, you leave something in your inbox saying, I'm going to come back to this, I'm going to respond to it, and then, you know, 50 more messages come in, and then all of a sudden you've got an inbox filled with messages, and you can't get back to them all, and you can't tell what's important and what's not. So basically, all of this is delaying decisions. When you're delaying decisions by piling the paper or letting the email in, collect in your inbox, same thing on your smartphone, not dealing with a text message or something like that, you're ultimately wasting a lot of time looking for things that you need in whatever form it's in. So in terms of statistics, just to tell you, a third of all business people lose more than 15 minutes a day or 2 hours every week hunting for lost papers, sorting through messy files, and rebooking missed appointments. So my personal thoughts around this is that your greatest productivity can really be found in organization. I mean, we can't change what's coming at us, but if you're more organized in around how you deal with that information, you're going to be more productive. You're going to be able to find what you need, and you won't lose time looking for stuff. So with that said, this is what you need to manage. There's you. You've got all this information, whether it's physical information. And on top of that, you need to manage your time. So my feeling also on that is that you don't want systems that are so complicated that you spend so much time working on the system and not enough time on actually getting things done. I don't like things that are really complicated that make it hard to actually get to what you need to. So I try to keep things simple and not overthink them. So I'm going to start talking about where all this information is coming from. There's different kinds of places that you get information. So paper information typically should land in a physical inbox. Then you have your email inbox or information from your computer. That's the electronic information. And then you've got information coming into your phone through voicemails and texts. So just right there, that's a lot of different points that information is collected through. So let's talk about those tools a little bit more. So rather than just coming back and putting things on your desk in piles and saying, I need to deal with this, or this is a project I'm going to deal with later, and sort of making a pile, your inbox, your physical inbox, is the place where all of this paper information should collect until you have a chance to deal with it. So I've listed here the common things that go in there. Mail, notes, business cards, any kind of piece of paper that you can't deal with the moment you receive it. You put it in your physical inbox, and then you have to come up with a regular habit around processing that inbox. So that means on a weekly basis, you're going to go through and make decisions about what's inside of it and what you're going to do with it. And I'm going to talk about this processing habit after we get through the collection tools, but in general, you need to process your inbox at least once a week so the pile in your inbox doesn't become so great that it becomes overwhelming. The kind of information that comes into your email inbox. So in general, there's things that are actionable. I need to respond to this. I need to do something with this email. But then there's a lot of other information that you don't necessarily need to deal with, but it's collecting in your inbox, in your email inbox. So that can be FYI emails or people just haphazardly hitting reply all, and then you get all this email that really doesn't pertain to you, but people really like that reply all and want to let everybody know what they're doing. You get lots of invites and events that are just, here's, you know, an invitation to this event, needs to go on my calendar. And then there's just stuff that's information. That can be generally sort of spam type emails or things that you're getting from places that you like to know about what's going on, but it's just information. So again, processing your email inbox, just on a general level, that means not using your inbox as a collection tool or as a reminder to do things. You need to process your inbox and put things on your to-do list or your action list and not just saying, I'm going to leave this here and come back to it, because it's just surrounded by other kinds of information and it's really hard to prioritize if you don't take the email and put it somewhere where you can actually do something with it. The other place that you collect a lot of information is on your smartphone. So just some notes around there is because we have all these different ports of collection, what I try to do with my clients is try to simplify the number of places that you're having to deal with. So, you know, when a text message comes through, even though a lot of people have their phones with them a lot, all the time, it's just another place that you have to look. So there are things that you can do to convert things that come through on your phone, like text messages and voicemails, into an electronic format. So there's things that you can send your text message to an email address. So there's ways that you can forward by just typing in the email address in the text message and forward it onto an email. So that way, you're not having to look at your phone and having to, as another place of information, you can process that message that might be in a text message that you need to do something with. You can process it along with your email. Same thing with voicemails. There's things like Google Voice and a program called PhoneTag where you can get your voicemail messages converted to an email or text format and allows you to process them outside of your smartphone. So those are ways, again, like I just don't think that when you have to look at your phone and your computer and paper information, it's just all these different places. So as much as you can look at everything together in one place, it's going to make it a lot easier for you. So if you're scattered all over the place, it's really hard to make a decision around information, what's important to me and what's not. So the less places you have to look, the better. And I'm going to talk about Evernote as another place that you can collect information, and I'm going to talk about it in detail as in the latter part of this teleseminar. So I talked about processing information, whether it's emails, paper, whatever. And basically, all these collection tools are just depositories for information. It's where the information is stored until you have a chance to deal with it. But the reason for the paper piles and the overstuffed physical and electronic inboxes is that, again, most people can't make a decision on things right away, so they leave the paper, the email messages sitting there, and what happens is you end up moving paper piles from place to place. Oh, I need to deal with this, but I can't deal with it now, so I'm going to put it over here. I'm going to pick up this piece of pile. I can't deal with this now, but I need to deal with this one. And all you're doing is sort of shuffling paper. Same thing in your email inbox. You go to an email message, you look at it, and then you say, oh, I should deal with this, but I've got to move on to something else, so I'll just come back to it. So then it's sort of this open-close. You look at it, and you never do anything with it. If you take all of that, the processing part of it, of where all these things collect, you basically have three choices on any kind of information. You can file it, you can act on it, or you can get rid of it. Now, it sounds simple enough, but at the same time, 80% of what is filed away is never looked at again. So that's how file cabinets become full of old and outdated stuff, and things just go there to die. That's why email messages that just languish and sit there are not necessarily dealt with. So as I said, you can really, there's three choices to make, and I'm going to cover them in reverse order. So to help you decide what to get rid of, which is going to make less things you have to deal with, the less you have to deal with, the easier it is to make a decision, there's something called the art of wastebasketry. It's going to help you be more confident in what to keep and what to get rid of. So let's look at that. Basically, any information, you can ask one of these six questions and decide whether you need to keep it or you can get rid of it. So something comes across your desk in physical form, or you get an email, you could ask yourself, does this require action? Again, if it requires action, don't just leave the paper or the email as the reminder. Put it on a task list. Put it on your calendar at a certain point in time to actually do something with it. You can create a file folder around that project, but you need to get the information out of the depository and put it somewhere where you can weigh it against your other priorities. And just because you receive information doesn't mean you need to keep it. So you might be somebody who just decided to clean off their desk in your office and give all of their stuff that they don't know what to do with to you. And then you have to figure out what to deal with it. I've seen that with my clients before. I had a client who the wife didn't know what to do with a lot of stuff on her desk, so she just decided she was going to put it on her husband's desk, and he was the one who had to make the decision. And then when he got it, he didn't really know what to do with it either. So nobody was really dealing with anything. It was sort of, again, they were delaying the decision. Same thing in email. I talked about a lot of the reply all or FYI emails we get. They don't require action. That's probably something that you can probably delete and not have any worries about not looking at again. The next question, is it recent enough to be useful? So in today's world, we get a lot of information that becomes quickly outdated. Information on the latest tech toy. We get a lot of information around social media, and that stuff is changing literally on a daily basis. So if you have an article you've been meaning to read and it's 3 months old, probably at this point in time, it's not really helpful to you. Or if you get newsletters or something like that often, and you're really behind in them, oftentimes that information has been brought up again, or you can find it in another way. So again, you could probably get rid of it. Could you get it again? So in terms of paper form, a lot of stuff that either you can get in electronic form, like could you find that same information through an internet search or in a book sitting on your bookshelf? Could you get it in another format? You probably don't need to keep the paper. In terms of electronic information, you can ask yourself, you know, does someone else have this information that if I really wanted it, I could get again from a colleague, or I could email somebody to get this information again? Do I really need to keep it? So you can ask yourself that. Then tax or legal implications. So in general, you only need to keep tax information for 7 years. I will tell you, you need to check with your own personal CPA or your own tax advisor of what's for your particular situation. But if there's information that you're keeping, for longer than that, that's tax or legal information, you can probably get rid of it, but you should check with your advisor about what is in your particular situation. But keeping things because just in case I might need this for legal reasons or tax reasons is not a really good thing. I mean, that's how we get these overstuffed file cabinets and things like that, because people keep information just because they're afraid if they get rid of it, it will be a bad thing. So really know why you're keeping something. And then does it have a specific use? So people often keep things, again, for that just-in-case reason. I don't know what to do with this, or they keep it because they think they might need it someday. But oftentimes, if you don't know where to file something, or you're going to put it in a folder and you don't know what to call it, you're never going to remember you have it. So what's the purpose of keeping something that you don't know you have, or you don't remember that you kept it? You're never going to find it when you need it. So at the time when you're trying to figure out what to do with the piece of information and you don't have a specific use at the time, you can probably get rid of it. And then finally, what's the worst case scenario? What would happen if you deleted that email or you got rid of that document? What would happen? Can you live with the consequences of not having it and be okay with that? And oftentimes you can. So you're probably better off getting rid of it than trying to figure out where to put it, or not when you're not sure what to do with it, calling it something that you're never going to find, those kinds of things. So you're better off getting rid of it. So what these questions do is they're helpful when you're processing your different collection points. You can ask yourself these questions about the information inside and then come up with an answer to help you get rid of more stuff so that you have less to actually figure out what to do with. So for the rest of the information, as I said before, it's File Act Toss. So now we're on the act part of it. So I talked about converting your paper or your emails to an action on a task list. Now in this picture, that thing that's being shown is called an inclined sorter. That's what I typically advise my clients to use for their current projects and things that they need ready access to. So if you've got a lot of paperwork around a particular project, put it into a folder, put it on your desk where it's an easy reach rather than just using a pile. Any chance that you can convert something to a horizontal to a vertical position, it's going to make more room on your desk and it's going to be easier to find. And the same thing again, not using the paper as a reminder to do something or the email as a reminder to do something. Put it on your task list and get rid of the paper or get rid of the email. So I talked about creating an action or project file around certain things. Then there are things that you need to file. So File Act Toss. So this is the file piece. Having a good file system is crucial to managing information because your ability to accomplish any task or goal is directly related to your ability to find what you need when you need it. But if you're keeping too much, you really can't find anything. And if you don't know you have something, it's really of no value to you. So in terms of general things around paper files, it should take you less than 1 minute to pick up a piece of paper, figure out what you're going to do with it, and put it in a file. If it takes you longer than that, you're probably not going to file it. So I had a client once that filing to her was just like most people. She just didn't want to do it. She didn't want to I hate filing. But when we went through all of her files and saw what she was keeping and the amount of files she was keeping, and once we went through them and saw she could purge a lot of the files she was keeping and that she only had to really have, this was her personal information, but she only really needed one drawer of files for her personal information, and we put them in alphabetical order, it was pretty easy for her to pick up something from her inbox and put it in the appropriate file. She didn't have to look around a lot. It was really easy for her to file it away, and then she could find it when she needed it. So when I create paper files for people, or when we talk about the correct file systems, how to set things up, I generally believe you should just have straight alphabetical files. What happens when you try to do sort of categories and things like that is that people forget what category they put something under, and so it's just much easier to do things in alphabetical so you can find what you need. Now, if you do use categories or if you have a lot of different file drawers, you can use something like a spreadsheet to create a map of your file system. So for example, if you put your car stuff in a file and then you go and you can't remember whether you called it car or auto or Volkswagen, you just create a line item that says car and then the different keywords that might prompt you when you're trying to look for something of where you put that information. It's just a map to your file system. Now that takes some time, but if you really feel like you're losing stuff a lot in the physical world, you can create a map of your file system. Now that's just the paper piece. So what about all this electronic information? The biggest thing that I would tell you to do is really try to be consistent of what you name your files, whether it's in the paper world, in your email system, or on your computer in terms of your document storage. The more you consistent you are across all the mediums, it's going to be really much easier for you to find what you need when you need it. And then as much as you can, try to cull your files. I mean, if things become old and outdated, get rid of them. You don't want to have those overstuffed file cabinets. It's really hard to find what you need when you're keeping too much information. So I talked a little bit about paper, but as things continue to progress in technology, as much as you can, if you really want to be able to find what you need when you need it, trying to go more electronic and less paper-based is really going to help you to find the information you need. So on this slide, I'm showing you a couple of different scanners that I recommend if you really want to try to be more less paper-based. So the Fujitsu ScanSnap is probably the best one out there for converting paper to electronic form. I'm showing you the iX500, which is more their desktop version. It's wireless. You can set it up. You put a piece of paper in, and you can put in, like, large volumes of paper. It scans the front and the back in, like, seconds. And then it opens up a dialog screen and shows you, you know, do you want to store this in Evernote, Dropbox, Box, on your computer, whatever you want to do with it. But it does things very quickly. Versus, like, a lot of people, if you're trying to be less paper-based and you just have one of those all-in-one printers, scanner, copiers, it's okay, but it's just going to take you a lot longer. And so when things take a long time, we tend not to do them. So if you really want to be less paper-based, then I would say invest in one of these types of scanners. Now, the other ones that I'm showing on here, the Fujitsu i1300, that's just a smaller one that's more portable. It sort of just depends on your space, your budget, and things like that. And then the DoxyGo scanner is another one that's been recommended to me. I don't have personal experience with it, but again, it's another one that would just allow you to scan in your information and start creating more electronic-based files versus paper-based files. Now, once you've scanned all this in, what do you do with it? So there's many options for cloud storage. I've just summarized here the different options that I sort of know about and that are more common for people to use. And my feeling on this is if you're going to go with something, you know, just stick with one. Like if you're using Dropbox and Box and Google Docs, it's really confusing. Again, it's all these different ports, similar to the analogy I made around having your phone and your physical inbox and things like that. So I just say figure out one that you really like and stick with that. And also, you know, in terms of the amount of storage you need, there's different price points for different things. Google Docs, which is free, is great, but I mean, I'll just say personally, I'm not a huge fan of all Google products. They're really heavily search-based, and so setting up folders and things like that is sometimes awkward, and a lot of times you have to convert documents to their format, and then when you're sharing them, it's confusing. So I like Google Docs for certain things, but it would not be my all-in-one cloud storage solution. That's just me personally. So that's the cloud storage piece and the management of paper. Sort of information along those lines. There's some other sort of things that I want to touch on in terms of that I mentioned before. So you've got other kinds of information that you need to do things with. So managing information that you need to deal with, as I said, you want to put it on a task list or something like that. So here, I'm mentioning some task list programs that I really like. I used to recommend certain ones, but now there's seriously hundreds of apps and programs out there around creating to-do lists. It's really about personal interaction and what you like about it. So the reason I like Wunderlist is that it's not over-engineered. They have a free version and then some paid versions of that gives you a little more robust, but the free version is fine. And it's just really a very simple interaction. It's not overcomplicated, and I think it's really user-friendly to use. Remember, the Milk has been around for a long time. That's also a great task list program. Any.do and Things. Things is only for Mac-based people. It's a great program for managing your to-dos. If you're all Mac and all Apple, it's a great program in terms of how you set up your tasks and how you can assign them to different types of priorities and things around that, but it is only Mac-based. So the reason that you want to have a really good to-do list is, again, not keeping the paper or the email as a reminder to do things and getting as much of you as you can out of your head and onto something that you can look at your task list and prioritize what you need to do. So the other kind of information that we need to manage is our time. So I'm a big believer in keeping only one calendar and making sure that it's portable. So for those of you who may try to keep a work calendar and personal calendar separate, I just think it's really hard to, it's you, one person, managing your time. And whether you need to be at a meeting for work or at your school, your kid's school performance, it's still just you. And you want to be able to look at your time and know where you need to be. So when you're trying to take information that you need to act on, you're going to look for those white spaces of time and figure out from your to-do list, okay, I've got these five things I need to get done. Where's the white space on my calendar where I can get them done? And you can slot those projects in. And then making an appointment with yourself to do the things you need to do. And then being really good about honoring your own appointments. I mean, if you put on your calendar, I need to sit at my desk and accomplish these five things today, don't just be like, oh, because Susie called and she wants to meet around this other meeting, my time isn't as important. So you really need to honor your own time. And then having a really good contact management tool. So oftentimes when I'm working with people in their offices, there's always that drawer full of business cards. People collect business cards, they throw them in a pile, and then they do nothing with them. So if you're going to take the time to connect with people, and you know, connections are a huge part of being a successful business owner, you need a really good contact management tool. And that means it needs to be in electronic form, portable if possible, so you have it with you wherever you are. And if that means investing in a card scanner, or the scanners that I mentioned on the other slide, those can scan business cards and put them into a contact management system for you. You need a place for all of your contacts. Then there's lots of contact management systems like Outlook, ACT, or you can go to the higher level of a CRM tool, which is a customer relations management tool, and I've mentioned some here. And just so you know, so people aren't like feeling like they need to write everything down so quickly, I will probably post the slides so you can refer back to some of the resources that I've mentioned. So the last piece of information is email, and that's a huge beast of management of information, but because of this topic is so great, I'm just going to just sort of give you a few pointers on that. Basically, the less you store, you'll be able to find more. So going back to the art of waste basketry, deleting as much as you can. Also, any message that you can respond to in under 2 minutes, just do it at the time you're processing your email. Don't sit there and like, oh, I'll deal with this later. If you can just quickly dash off an answer, then quickly dash off an answer, be done with it, and either file the email in a folder or delete it. That's basically what I want to say around email, of just scheduling processing time versus living in your inbox, because email can really take over your time in terms of how you manage your day. So if you do it during set periods of time during the day, I'm just checking email, you know, every 2 hours or versus every 5 minutes, it's going to allow you more time to get other things done. So now I want to talk about just notes and ideas. And this is where I said I would talk about Evernote a little bit more. What Evernote is it is a tool. It's in the web, in the cloud, whatever you want to call it. It also can live on your computer. It can live on your tablet. It can live on your smartphone. But it's a great way of keeping track of information, anything that you want to refer back to, and be able to access it when you want to. So I'm going to switch screens for a second. And this is my Evernote. So what is so great about this is, as you can see, I have all these notebooks, and I'm going to expand this for just 1 second. And I have notebooks around various topics that are important to me. So I have an inbox, just like I talked about having a physical inbox or your email inbox or something like that. And this is where a lot of information goes, and I'm not sure what I want to do with it at the time. Then I have a whole list of notebooks around topics that are important to me and what I do for my work. So if I find something on the web and there's an article that I want to collect, I just go to here, and here's all these things around productivity, different things that I've clipped from the web. Personally, I use this. I have two children that have gone through, I'm planning a bar mitzvah right now, and 3 years ago I planned my daughter's bar mitzvah, and I was able to collect all this information in Evernote. Different things about the photographer, the receipt from the photo booth, ideas around the decoration, the menu from the caterer, things like that. So here's all my notebooks. I also use it a lot for travel. Like I have a whole travel notebook where I collect our tickets and things like that, recipes. It's just any kind of information that you want. So how do you get information into here? So one of the things, I like best about Evernote is I'm going to go to here. Let me just open a new window. And let's say I want to find information about ducks. I'm just going to pick a random topic. And I find this article about ducks. So here it is. And I'm like, oh, this is such a great article. I really want to save this. So I've downloaded this web clipper, this little elephant in the corner. I just click on that, and it takes the name of the web page. It asks me what notebook I want to put it into. I'm just going to put it in my inbox right now, and I'm going to say clip full page. So here it clipped it, and it's just said it's done. So just to show you how quick this is, because Evernote lives on my desktop, there it goes. Wait, okay. When I go up to my inbox, if I just hit sync right now, although usually it comes in pretty quickly. We'll see that note in just a second, but it's syncing. Give it a second here. Normally it comes in really quickly, so I'm not sure if I'm having internet issues, but we'll see that note here. So that's one way this web clipper allows you to bring things in really easily and quickly. I apologize. I don't know why it's not clicking. I mean, why it's not syncing. There it is. Okay. So there's the duck story. So now if I want to look at, let's say I come off of here, and I want to search on ducks. Oh, not within the notebook. Hold on one second. Let me go to all notes. So it now brought up anywhere that I have the word ducks, but that's where that note is. So it's found that note with the word ducks, and that's why I just think it's a really good program in terms of finding information that you need when you need it. You can also get information into here through your email. So I have Outlook, and there's a way that I can just, again, hit that little elephant icon, and it will send an email that I want to save information on directly into Evernote. The last thing that I sort of want to show you on that is another thing I really like about it is this ability to collect, to make checklists or to-do lists or things like that. So here's just a list of sample to-dos I just created. So let's say I want to read the duck article. Okay, so I type that in, and then, you know, when it's done, I can just check it off. So it's another place that you can create checklists. So I just think it's a really powerful program for collecting information that you want to refer back to at another point in time. And just to let you know, I had the free version for many, many years. You can collect a lot of information without investing money if it's something you just want to try. I would encourage you to set up some notebooks, start collecting information that you then want to refer back to, and you can find it when you need it. What the difference is between the free and the paid, with the free version, you can only put in PDFs and JPEGs and then just regular text information. With the paid version, you can bring in things like Word documents and spreadsheets and things like that, and you get a lot more ability to upload information. The free version only, like if you're somebody who's going to put a lot of pictures in here, you're going to use up your monthly allotment pretty quickly because it only allows you to do a certain amount of uploading at a time. So just to finish this off, and I'm going to take questions in a few minutes, in just a second, but this is all the information on me of how you can get more information. I do a monthly tips newsletter where I just have a particular topic that I choose, and so that's a great way to get more information from me. I'm also in the usual places of Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, so if you want to connect with me there, that's another great way to connect with me. And then on a general level, what I do is I work with clients one-on-one, helping them to implement a lot of tips, different things around organization, whether it be in their office, their home, paper, electronic. And then I meet with them one-on-one to implement a lot of the things that we're doing. So we sort through the piles, we come up with a system that allows them to find what they need when they need it, whether it is just stuff around your house or paper or electronic information. So I am now going to open this for questions. Let me just see. I don't know if everybody, if you want to unmute or if you want to type a message in the chat area, that's another way that you can ask a question. Does anyone have any questions?
Well, I certainly do if nobody else does, but someone else come forward. All right, so let me ask my question, and then I'll be brave and talk what's really going on with me. Is I have been an Outlook person for many, many years. I have a PC. This is where I get all my emails, and also have created a bunch of folders on the left-hand side so that as emails come in, I can quickly store them and, you know, the important ones. Now, over years, I find that I have too many folders, and It's now getting very confusing to even find things in my folders, as organized as I thought I was. So I wondered if you had some suggestions as in terms of categories. Like, I get it now that I have different memberships and email information, say like with PayPal or different, you know, websites or programs that I have that I pay on a monthly basis, instead of having created a folder for each one of those, maybe just a folder that says all memberships, and then I know. Do you have any suggestions of how I can really consolidate categories better?
Okay, so a couple things. I mean, I use Outlook as well, and I was like you. I had a lot of folders. First of all, I sort of believe with any kind of email system that you have, if you have more than a screen's worth of folders, it's going to be really hard for you to scroll through all those folders to figure out where you're going to put something or where you need to go look for something. So I started putting a lot of stuff I needed to keep into Evernote and not having all those folders because it was just a way more user-friendly search. So that's one option. The other thing I would say is if you can go through some of those folders and see if some of them are just really, do you really need to keep the number of folders that you're keeping? I mean, as I said, store less, find more. Can you cut down on the number of folders? And if you can't, then maybe you need to look at an alternative place where you're storing that information. So I no longer put my emails that I really want to keep into folders. I just directly send them to Evernote, and then they're in a notebook around a particular topic, and they're much easier to find. Does that answer your question?
No, it does. And, you know, like many, I'm sure, I've created a system that is really outdated and not as efficient in today's time. So I'm beginning to recognize how I also need to be more current and maybe make better use of the clouds and those that are available to us so that I don't have to feel so inundated with information.
Right. I mean, Outlook is a great tool. I really like it. There's a lot of things I really like about it, but the search function, like, I think, I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure of this, like when you go search for something, it's really hard to search across multiple folders. So if you can go to a program like an Evernote or some kind of cloud-based solution that would allow you to search all of your documents and just not be confined to that folder, it's going to make it easier for you to find something.
And one last question is kind of in connection with Outlook. I, you know, having been in sales and marketing for so long, when I got a business card, I did develop a good habit of taking that information and plugging it into my Outlook. So good for me on that. However, now with using Constant Contact, and there are many others, MailChimp, blah, 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 mm-hmm. but that is another resource of where you can store contact information. And I'm kind of being faced with, do you always store your addresses in Outlook, your contact information, and then just reboot that information into a Constant Contact? What's the most efficient way so you just are not duplicating contact information?
Well, I guess, I mean, some of it comes down to what are you using this different tools for? So in my case, I use MailChimp, and my database there is strictly for people who subscribe to my newsletter. What I use Outlook for, which, I mean, I don't just have one big contact. I've broken that contacts down into different kinds of things. So I have a prospects contact. I have a folder, whatever you want to call it. I have a networking folder of people that I just meet in business and that are good referral sources and things like that for me. And so I've broken it down so that you're not looking at 5,000 contacts or whatever, and it makes it easier again to see, you know, these are the people that I want for this purpose, and these are the people that I want to connect with for that purpose, and it may be easier for you to find things that way. But with Constant Contact, again, like, it depends how you're using it. I don't know in terms of Constant Contact as an interface. It's not really a CRM tool, I don't think. It's not going to help you to know more about a person that you want to connect with. A CRM tool is really meant to be, like, so that you can track when you've contacted that person, information about that person, like where they work, what they look like, things that you want to remember about that person, so it will help you in terms of developing a connection with them. If you're truly just keeping their address and phone number, and that's somebody that you want to have, you know, be able to access from your phone or your computer, you know, you can get your Outlook contacts to sync with your different devices, but breaking it down may be easier to help you find those people. And on another note, I also am a big believer in someone sort of has to earn their way into my contacts. Just because I go to a networking event and I meet, you know, 50 people, not all of those 50 people are really good contacts for me. I tend to, when I come back from an event, I look through the business cards, you know, and who are the people I really want to connect with and I really want to put into my contacts versus the other people I might sort of put into a different area, sort of a holding spot for a little while. And if it's not a really good connection for me, then I'm fine to get rid of the business card.
No, I think you're right on that. That just helps me, you know, decide, you know, am I looking for a relationship to engage more, or is this somebody maybe that's just interested in upcoming events or activities or newsletter or something? There's a huge difference, so thanks for that.
Right, and now I just see that Terry asks, how do I download the web clipping tool for Evernote? So if you just Google web clipper for Evernote, it's available for whatever browser you're using. So I am, in this case, I'm using Firefox, but you just type that in and you'll be able to download it. If you're using Safari or Chrome or whatever, you can download the clipper for that. Same thing for Outlook and things like that. You can just go to the web and do that. Any other questions?
Well, we might be a little gun-shy on that, but so did you say something earlier about that if people wanted to access information from your presentation today, they would go online? Can you repeat that?
I will tell you that. I think someone else has a question before we close that off.
Let's do it.
Hello?
Yes?
This is Dorothy. I'm sorry, I kept talking, but I couldn't tell if you could hear me. I don't know so much I have a question, but first of all, thank you so much for your presentation today. My personality is I'm sort of the quintessential, like, problem solver idea gal, but organization has never been one of my finer talents. And I guess, what do you do with a client who needs your help but has a strong emotional reaction of, say, embarrassment to you coming in and helping?
Okay, so, I mean, I wouldn't have a business if there wasn't a lot of people like you, so you're not alone. And then, I mean, I come in, I tell people, I mean, my comment, I start off with an initial phone consultation where I ask a lot of questions about the person, their situation, and things like that. And then when I come, I mean, I tell people, don't clean for the cleaning lady. Like, I want to see all your, you know, everything in its state. I'm not there to judge you. I'm there to help you. So some of that, I mean, it's sort of like the first step is admitting you have a problem. Like, I'm not there to judge you. I'm there to help you. So, you know, coming in, I've seen people who have me come and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so disorganized. And they're like, they have, you know, three pieces of paper sitting on their desk. And then I have people who are like, oh, I'm not that bad. And their office resembles, like, you know, stacks everywhere. So it's really hard to position yourself against other people when you don't know, but I've seen a lot of different scenarios, and I just, to me, it's just stuff, and I want to solve the problem, and I don't look at it as a reflection on who you are, because there's a lot of very successful people that organization is just not their thing, and that doesn't mean that they're not good people and they're not successful. So that's what I would say to that.
Well, one of the things is I am a extremely overwhelmed single mom. I have to be in charge of everything, and it's really weighing on me. Like when I go to work, I'm a psychotherapist. My work is like a vacation because I can go in a room and I'm just alone with a client and I'm focusing on one thing. But the huge stressor in my life is having to track all the little minutia.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really gotten to the point where I feel like I need to systematize everything. And so is that something you do both with work information as well as, you know, sort of running the household of like getting some kind of not just organizing the physical stuff, but some kind of systematize how to handle everything from month to month.
So I'm gonna finish your question, but I think we probably could talk more offline about your personal situation.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I mean, most of my clients, a majority of my clients are women who are just overwhelmed, whether they're working inside the home or outside the home. And a lot of it is just the management of life, and that's a lot of what I do. How do you create systems so you're not feeling overwhelmed all the time? And so to answer your question, that's definitely something I can do, and we can talk more offline and learn a little bit more about you and how I might be able to help you.
Okay, fabulous. Thank you.
So I think just in terms of timing, Janet, we can wrap this up. But
okay.
I really think that I really appreciate everybody participating. And if you have other questions, you are welcome to email me or shoot me a message through any of these. But what I'll do is I will take my slides and I will post them in the cloud. And then maybe, Janet, if you have a way to send an email to the participants, we can do something like that where we can send a link or somewhere.
Absolutely.
I can post a link.
I will unrecord us at this moment, and again, for the record, absolutely thank you again for joining our group today, and I know myself and others have gotten a lot of information. I do hope they take advantage of contacting you. All the information is there, so thanks again. I'm going to sign us off, and I can make this available to people.